Blog Talk Radio.
Before, but we nowhere near covered the territory that I wanted to cover with Steve, and it's taken us a little while to get him back on the show. Steve is the author of The Sacred and the Profane, and if you've read the notice on there, it talks about angels versus aliens. There are parts of The Sacred and the Profane which really appeal to me. Of course, it's of interest because I've done quite a bit of research in that area and wrote The Father Confusers. But Steve's take and his
is this Mr. Powell?
Angle on it is not exactly the same, and I found it very interesting.
Whoa! Hang on a minute, people.
Steve, I want to thank you for being with us on the show again tonight.
Well, thank you, Renford. It's always terrific to be on Searchers Roadmap.
Well, I'm glad we could work that out. I want to remind listeners now, as we're getting started, that you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's BLOGTALK, just like that. blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and go to the archives. And probably within a couple of hours of the show ending, you'll be able to go there and pick up any part of the show that you missed. If you've got friends that you would like or that you know would like to listen to the show but are handicapped by not having a computer or not being online or having a problem with it, they can go to 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. We have 50 lines there, so you can listen. If you're one of the first 50, you can listen that way. If you would like to ask our guest, Steve Barney, a question tonight, you go to that same number, 347-838-9142.
Hello, listeners. If anyone's out there, somebody call in, please, and let me know that you can hear me. I'm having a bunch of technical difficulties for some reason today. But it is the Roadmap for Seekers and Searchers Roadmap with Dr. Kay Kelly and Renala Wood. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being on the show today. Let me double-check my call log and see if I have missed Dr. K or Ranella. It was hard to get in today. Just a moment, I'll put you on hold. Hi, this is Rhonda with Roadmap for Seekers and Searchers Roadmap. We're having a little trouble today getting into having our guest here, but I just talked to them and they're going to be available to come in soon. Oh, I see someone now. And if you're in the guest box and or in the waiting area of the show, please press 1 if you're the guest so that I know who's in the back with me. And like I said, we're going to kind of run this one by ear today because we've had a lot of technical difficulties. Just a moment, I'm going to play some music and I'll be right back with you guys.
for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge. Without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze. Look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap. Rhonda Harris.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you're living out in this big world out there. We're here at the Searcher's Roadmap with Rachel that is going to share with us a lot of information in regards to Kundalini Yoga and the beautiful transformation that it's helped her with. And with that, Rachel, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the show. I didn't want to slaughter your last name, so I didn't say it. So if you could tell the listeners your full name and your contact information to start, and then if you want to go from there to talking about how you got on this journey.
Okay. Well, okay. My name is Rachel Zelaya, and my spiritual name is Surinder Joe Carr. So I go by Rachel Surinder Joe Carr Zelaya, which is a mouthful. My contact information, I can give out my email, is Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Zelaya@gmail.com. And I also have a website, which is www.adishaktisenter.com. That's for my studio in Boulder, Colorado. And that's spelled A-D as in Deborah, I, Shakti, S-H-A-K-T-I, Center, all one word, adishaktisenter.com. And then as far as me getting connected to Kundalini Yoga and this journey and path of healing and self-empowerment and huge change in my life, it was 2009, the fall, October of 2009, and I was having a mental spiritual crisis. I was in a really, really stressful job that was not really where I was supposed to be, and I was dealing with my own addictions, and I was married to an addict and alcoholic, and I was living in a situation that was unsafe, and just pretty much everything was king in my life. And I got to this place where I would I'd drive by a hospital, and I would fantasize about something happening to me so I could go to that hospital and just rest and just stop doing what I was doing. And I recognized that these were unhealthy thoughts. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And I thought about going on, drugs, getting to see a psychiatrist and getting a pill to make it all better. I was addicted to Ambien. I couldn't sleep at night. And then on the way to work in the morning, I would fall asleep at traffic lights. I mean, it was just a mess. And I kind of got to a point of crisis where I was willing to reach out to some trusted friends. And they convinced me to just take a day off from work, which was really hard for me to do because I was a school teacher and I just felt, 100% responsible for all of the kids I was teaching, and I didn't want to let anybody down. So anyway, it was a big deal for me to start thinking about myself and self-care versus trying to take care of everything outside of me. So I took the day off from work, and one of my good friends took me to a Kundalini Yoga class that afternoon. And from the very first class, I felt a really big shift in my consciousness. We did breath work. We did movement. We did mantra and meditation. And all of these things were really different than any other kind of yoga I'd ever done before. I had practiced Ashtanga yoga in the past and some Hatha yoga. And those were good, and I benefited a lot from them. In fact, I did sun salutations every day of my life since I was 12 when I first was taught that. So my body was used to that form of yoga, but this was a totally different experience where I felt like it shifted my consciousness and got me up and out of kind of the darkness and feeling like there was no hope, like I had no options, like I would have to, you know, have a car crash in order to get a break from my life. This was like, okay, I can just go do an hour and a half yoga class and like push the reset button and feel renewed, and like there was some hope and that the life was worth living. And, you know, it sounds dramatic, but that was literally my experience from that very first class. So from that point on,
very powerful for you, and it was exactly where the divine wanted you to be.
Yes, exactly. I had to be taken to a really low point in order to be willing to kind of surrender and give up and say, okay, this isn't working anymore. Show me what else is out there for me. You know, I need a technology, I need a practice that I can do every day that's physical. It's not just sit down and meditate. I had a meditation practice for years. I need to be in my body, and I need to stretch, I need to breathe, and I need to have prayer be a part of my physical experience, not just up in my head somewhere.
Yeah, and taking it from your head to your heart is a short distance in inches, but a long distance in it actually happening, with us surrendering and going to our heart and our gut and really feeling what is going on rather than trying to rationalize it.
And releasing stress and tension out of my body, like my adrenal glands and my liver and my kidneys, like my organs were under so much stress, and that obviously just has such a huge effect on our bodies, my adrenal glands. You know, I was just, I was walking stress ball.
Yeah,
so
and
the
it's
only
in your...
way you get at that is just through the body, like through doing breath and movement that nurtures the on that level.
And it feeds the soul, and it feeds you from the inside out rather than from the outside in.
Exactly. So Kundalini Yoga works on all of those levels. It works directly on a physical level. It can't get much more physical than, you know, moving your body so that organs are being literally massaged, or the lymph glands are secreting, or the pituitary gland is secreting. I mean, we're talking about the physical body, and yet it has such far-reaching effects on, you know, the emotional and on the spiritual and on the mental.
And our body wants to be stretched and moved and that type of stuff. And we're always doing rather than being. And I think with Kundalini Yoga, or my experience with it, and I haven't been around it a huge amount of time. I've been around it since July on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made huge differences in me, in the fact that I'm giving myself permission that I don't have to do the harder yoga postures due to my compromised health, that I can still do yoga, but it doesn't have to be such a physical workout, because I'm used to Bikram yoga. And
right.
So I'm used to, you know, really pounding it out and being in the heat and stuff. And
yeah.
This is more of a nurturing, loving, giving to yourself and to the community, because you're in a calmer spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different forms of yoga, and it's like different forms of medicine for different diseases. And, you know, there's the hot yoga, there's the push yourself, there's the look really good in yoga pants yoga. There's the, you know, people coming around and adjusting you and pushing you deeper. We don't do any of that in Kundalini Yoga. You are having your own experience, and I have people come to my classes who walk with a cane because they've been in multiple accidents, and people come in and they sit in a chair, and just being in the space and doing what they can do has really profound effects. I mean, they come back time and time again from being in the space and doing the meditations and doing the breath work and moving as is possible for them.
Well, yeah, and that's the beautiful thing. I mean, because that's where I was at. I mean, I showed up with a walker to your yoga studio in July, you know, on because I was celebrating my birthday and you had a beautiful new moon event at that time with Kimba Arams as well. And it was such a spiritual experience, and it was the love was just so intense in that form of yoga versus other yogas that I've done.
Yeah, it's definitely heart-centered. And, you know, when I'm teaching, my eyes are closed and I'm just going in and listening. You know, my crown center is open to receive guidance, and I'm in my heart and in my body and putting myself in the student's places. You know, if I was the student in this class, what would I want to experience? What would I need? And so it's that kind of empathic resonance that I think is such a powerful way to be in a yoga experience where, yeah, it's not just about physical, it's about the heart space, and it's about the music and the mantra, and it's like a group prayer that we're doing, and each one of us is creating it, you know, for ourselves, but then it all is adding in, and, you know, people walk out of classes high. It's just not how high it is.
Well, exactly, and that's part of what I was speaking of is that, you know, you're in a, I mean, it's really the endorphins and the dopamine and the neurotransmitters and all of those different actions due to moving and activating the brain into that movement. And it's just amazing how, you know, all the research that's being done that's available through, you know, Kira and through the Kundalini Institute and all these, you know, different institutes that are really making it a study to see how to lessen our stress and how mantras and like Gregorian chanting and that type of stuff totally calms the body and starts a healing process.
Yeah, so the technology that was given to us here in the West by a man named Yogi Bhajan, Bhajan, and he came from India in 1969. And, you know, these teachings have been around for a really long time. These are ancient technologies that were developed in caves by yogis. You know, this is the real deal. And they were kept very secret for a long time. And as Yogi Bhajan teaches, it was understood that an age would come where people would be under so much pressure that's when these teachings would really flourish because they'd be so needed. So even though where he came from, people didn't want him to come to America and teach these teachings. They're like, no, these are sacred, secret teachings. You can't just spread these out to hippies in California. Like, that's crazy. And yet his calling was that's exactly what it needed to do because this was the place and the people that needed them the most. And so he came and just offered his whole life. I mean, this man worked insane hours and, you know, traveled all over the world and countless students. And his main vision was to not, he wasn't a guru. People, you know, didn't call him Rinpoche or guru. He was a yogi. He was a master of Kundalini yoga. And his main purpose was to teach other people to be teachers so that this, you know, impact, this ripple would ripple all over the world, and it has, and there are, you know, countless teachers now all over the world who are teaching this technology, countless manuals. Anybody can go online and get a manual from Amazon or wherever they want to get it and teach themselves. So it's not this secret practice anymore, although that's what it was for many, many years. And so the idea is people need it. It's available. You can open up a manual and do these practices that are really fairly simple, fairly straightforward. It also helps to, if you can find a class in your area to go and, you know, learn directly from a teacher or several teachers. But the goal is to make it as accessible as possible for as many people as possible. And if anybody out there would like to try a sample class, I have several free classes that are uploaded on YouTube, and you can go to those links from my website, adishaktisenter.com, under the free class video link.
Very nice. And our listeners, I'm sure, are going to get right out there and do that because, I mean, if you've not seen Kundalini Yoga or experienced it, this is a very beautiful way to experience it through YouTube. And since we have the technology today, it's amazing. And let me put a little blurb in here for Searcher's Roadmap is that I'm looking to have, you know, you guys send me information, any type of spirituality or rituals or ceremony that you would like to look into and learn about. I'm, you know, researching as many different forms as possible because we are in a time of searching of the Rainbow Bridge time that Black Elk talked about and the Natives have talked about and numerous other, you know, spiritual programs have all or, you know, have all come about for this time of change that is such a massive shift of us sharing our information and it not being a secret anymore. So you can get these shows downloaded in the archives. They're available for eternity. You can download them, give them to your friends, forward them, and you're more than welcome to do that. So with that, why don't you talk – you mentioned a book that people could get. Could you give us the title of it?
Well, there's many, many books. And
well, in regards to – I didn't know if there was a book that the I can't say his name, that was put out with the information that you were just talking about.
Well, I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know, any type of books that would help people just to give them one that you've used, maybe a title that you can think of that's
sure.
on Amazon.
Yeah, well, let's see. Like I said, there's a ton. One place you can try is Kundalini Research Institute. The initials are KRI, but if you go to KundaliniResearchInstitute.org, you'll get a lot of information about Kundalini Yoga. And then there's also an online store where you can purchase manuals. So I'm on there right now, and I'm just looking at some of the manuals. So there's a great one called Senses of the Soul, Emotional Therapy for Strength, Healing, and Guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredible book that I teach from every Wednesday right now. And it was written by a Kundalini Yoga teacher and teacher trainer who's combining working with the difficult emotions, grief, depression, anger, shame, guilt, you know, the heavy hitters, the ones you can't ignore very long. So each, there's a chapter dedicated to each one of those difficult emotions, and he gives Kundalini Yoga meditations use when you are experiencing that particular emotion. And then he also offers just insight and wisdom and guidance for why we have those emotions, if they're here as they're here for a reason, you know, like in my story, my kind of depression and hopelessness that was there to get me to stop doing what I was doing. It was like this is the end of the road for that life. And, you know, there's another whole life for you out there, which has turned out to be true. I mean, pretty much everything about my life is different from that day in 2009 when I walked into that class. And today, 2014, we're actually 5 years almost to the day.
Well, happy anniversary for your life change.
Yeah, exactly. It was an incredible blessing. So that's one book that's on there. There's another amazing book called Kriya, K-R-I-Y-A. And Kriya, so Kundalini Yoga is a form of Kriya Yoga, and Kriya just means a completed action. And in this case, it's a series of movements that Yogi Bhajan taught in a particular order. So you might start with twisting the spine gently side to side, and then the legs come out in front and you're stretching over the legs, and then maybe you're doing some neck rolls, and then maybe there's some arms. Your arms are out straight in front, and you're inhaling them up and exhaling them down. So they're dynamic movements. They're not really, you know, when people think of yoga, either they think of you put yourself into a pretzel form and you stay there for a while, or, you know, you're in some difficult leg lunge and you're there for, you know, too long, just that kind of thing. This is a very different style of yoga. It's movement, it's dynamic movements, and you're constantly changing what you're doing. So Kriya is a great manual. There's one here called the Chakras. Kundalini Yoga definitely has a lot to do with the chakra system. So you can learn a lot about imbalances in the chakras. Let's say, you know, you feel really pure in the world. You've got money issues. You feel like you don't really belong here. You feel embarrassed or self-conscious a lot. That tends to be an imbalance in the first chakra, the root. And so when you work on the root, then you can start feeling more supported and like you're connected to the earth and you belong here and this is your home, and you start to attract resources and support and friends and wealth and the things that you need in order to move forward and manifest your destiny, not in the sense of ego, I'm going to, you know, be a millionaire, but like, what do I need to have in this world so I can be of service and do what I came here to do? And so each one of the 7 or 8 chakras, depending on if you include the aura, the electromagnetic field around the body, each one of those can be harmonized and balanced and strengthened so that we have a very different experience in the world. So chakras are a major part of Kundalini Yoga, as are working with the glandular system. Yogi Bhajan called the glands the guardians of our health. And so pretty much every kriya that you do is going to work on several glands, whether it's the thyroid or pituitary or pineal or parathyroid or the lymph gland. So that's another big piece that comes in. And then the other part I just wanted to talk about is the importance of meditation. So we were talking about how we need to move the body, and that's such an important piece. To me, when I sit down to meditate, if I haven't moved and breathed first, I'm just up in my head. I'm just, you know, thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch, or I'm thinking about something that happened yesterday, or, you know, I can't really have a deep experience until I've moved and breathed. But the meditation is kind of the goal of it. You know, we move and we breathe, and so that we can have a deep experience and connect in with our intuition, our third eye, and get clear about, you know, what's important? What am I here to do? What do I need to change in my life? Where am I going? And listening to that still small voice, which really appears to be our guide when we can listen to it.
Very nice. Such beautiful information and such a calming energy is what I'm picking up on. And I'm sure my listeners are hearing the same thing. You have different workshops that you do and healing processes centered for women. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about the upcoming adventures you're getting ready to do.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, being a woman, it's kind of most compelling for me to work with other women, since I have undergone such a healing through this experience, and really getting clear about what I'm here to do. And so it's been a big focus of mine to work specifically with women and supporting them and going through changes. So some of the things that I do around that is I offer a weekly class just for women, which has been such a healing experience for myself and so many of the women that come, just to be in a space where we're sisters practicing together, and there's not, you know, any kind of that energy of, well, who's here and what do I look like and how's my makeup today or any of that stuff. Like, we can just really go beyond the facade and the external and support each other on a really deep level to heal. So I just love seeing the friendships that have blossomed around that class and people come. coming early and visiting and staying late and just, you know, supporting each other. As women, we need that. So that's one thing. And then several of those free classes that are on my website are women's classes. So you can get a sense of some of the topics that I cover, whether it's from, you know, menstrual health, how to stay balanced during the menstrual cycle, to strengthening the arc line, which is a line of energy that runs across the chest in front of the heart. And women have one and men don't in this technology. They have a different, they have an arc line that's like the halo from earlobe to earlobe, which women also have. But anyway, women have an extra one. And so how to keep that strong and clear, that's another topic we work with a lot. So anyway, there's lots of topics that are either up in my life or that Yogi Bhajan really spoke to specifically for women. And he really focused on women, which is kind of unusual. And, you know, men coming from India don't usually come here and want to teach just women. He really felt like the world is going to be saved by women healing themselves and empowering themselves. But it's really the time of the divine feminine to take root here on earth through women, because women have such a huge impact on their children, on their families, on their neighborhoods, on their communities. And so it's really starting at the root of change of our culture and of how we're relating with our planet. So anyway, he offered a ton of teaching specifically for women. There's a whole, there's a beautiful manual called I Am a Woman, and that the meditations that are specifically for women, most of them men can also do, but some of them are only for women. And then there's beautiful essays written in there by current American women teachers who have are just talking about the power of these meditations and kriyas in their lives. Right, so in that vein, I also offer retreats for women, one here in Boulder in September, and it was really beautiful. It was a healing retreat, and we went deep into some core wound, core negative beliefs that each one of us hold about ourselves, and working through them, acknowledging them, speaking about them, hearing everybody else's you know, things that they're going through, and doing a lot of Kundalini yoga, being in a beautiful place together, eating meals together. There was a beautiful pond and grounds and hiking and painting. So that was a beautiful weekend. And then I'm also offering a retreat in Costa Rica on the Pacific coast, southern end of Costa Rica. It's kind of far from where a lot of the normal retreats are held. It's a quiet little town in the middle of nowhere, but it's on a marine national park that was founded by Jacques Cousteau and the owner of this eco-retreat center that we go to. So that'll be a week, February 1st through the 7th in 2015. And there's a website with all the information about that. And let's see, it's through a company called Global Journeys. And if you go to globalj.org and then look up Kundalini Yoga or my name, Rachel Zelaya, you'll get all the information. There's also a phone number to call to find out more information, and that is 516-906-2133. So that's a week spent in this incredible place, doing Kundalini yoga, meditation, eating incredible food. There'll be some snorkeling options for people that want to do that, back riding to some amazing waterfalls in the jungle. And we went last year, and it was just such a deep, profound healing for so many women who are usually about taking care of other people, taking care of their families, working hard at their job. And so to take a week out just for themselves, no kids, no husbands, no phones, and go deep with the sound of the ocean and the cicadas and the monkeys and the birds, and it was a really beautiful experience last year. So that registration is open now, and we'll probably limit it to about 12 or 15 women. So if you're interested, then contact me, or like I said, go to that Global Journeys website or call that number, 516-906-2133, to find out more information.
Very nice. And on the site for the Searchers Roadmap is also the link that she was just speaking of to global.org that you can go to, and it'll take you directly to where she was speaking of in regards to this beautiful trip in Costa Rica. That sounds absolutely amazing to be in that setting for a week and totally be unplugged.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it for us as women. I mean, we're plugged in all the time, especially when you're in a relationship and you have children and you're going to school and you're running your businesses, and it's like, how many more things can we get going out here? You know, and that's why it's so important to be the being rather than the doing.
Yeah, Yogi Bhajan said that women are 16 times more powerful than men. and it's interesting to think about what he meant by that. But one thing that feels true for me is the whole multitasking thing that women can do.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about what's for dinner and taking the kids to 17 different places and helping with homework and running a business and answering 30 emails. You know, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, the multitasking part.
And it's really hard on the nervous system. And we need
exactly
time to stop and heal. And in fact, when he was alive, he held a 6-week-long camp for women every summer. And he said, leave the husbands at home, leave the kids at home. They'll be fine. Let them see how important you are to them by being gone for 6 weeks. And come here and get strong. See, when you go back to your life and everything you're doing, you can really show up from a grounded and stable and strong and nurturing place. So it's not like filling up, you know, the well. The well gets depleted, and you got to fill it up.
Yeah, and you have to fill your – you can't be of service to your family or to yourself if your own well is going dry.
Exactly. So I think that's where, you know, so many diseases come from, and stress and depression. They're all the bodies and the minds and the heart's way of saying stop.
Mm-hmm.
You're not king anymore. You're running out. And, you know, there's obviously a very close tie with the earth's resources. And, you know, there's the limit. You can't just take and take and take. Or in the women's case, you can't just give and give and give and, you know, without stopping. Giving to yourself and you know, supporting each other and going still for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And going still, I think, is very important, because in that stillness, then we hear that small voice of the divine and, you know, where we're at. Whereas when we're so busy, you know, we don't hear those messages as clearly as we are. I mean, for me, I try to take a break 4 times a day, like when I used to work in an office or whatever. But I take them throughout the day, and I do meditation and, you know, burn some incense and do some stretching, you know, yoga stretching, and, you know, just to unplug from all the energy. I mean, because the energy is really intense now with so many catastrophic things going on around the world. And so it's like refocusing to put that love back out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's even a recommendation. One of my teachers says, set your phone to go off once an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when it goes off, you just step away from the computer, whatever it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and just put your hands on your belly and breathe long and deep, just for a minute. Just,
mm-hmm.
you know, long, deep breaths, and then you can plug back in. But just take, you know, a minute, an hour for yourself.
Yeah.
And
so see, and that's so big, 24 minutes in a day. For
right,
ourselves.
Exactly.
And I find going outside and just taking a nice big deep breath of fresh air and, you know, putting my feet in the dirt.
Exactly. Yeah. Since we're on the topic of breath, I was thinking we might do breath meditation.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. So there are literally thousands of different meditations that we have to choose from. So as a practitioner or as a teacher, there's this incredible variety that we can choose from. It's not sit down and watch the breath, that's your meditation, which is what I learned, which was great because it brings mental discipline. But there's such a variety of different meditations that some of them include the breath, some of them include mantra, some of them include visualization, some of them include prayer. There's literally, you know, an unlimited variety of meditations. So the one that I thought to teach today is a very simple one. It's called perspective and emotional balance, which we all need. And it has to do with using the different nostrils. So it's an alternate nostril breathing practice. It's really good to do before bed to just let go of the worries of the day. It also stimulates the brain's capacity to reset your framework of thinking and feeling, allowing new perspectives, which, you know, for me is so important, like in my story. I needed to stop doing what I was doing and open up to some new perspectives. And so basically we're going to be inhaling through the left nostril and exhaling through the right nostril. And when we exhale through the right nostril, it helps to relax the busyness of the brain, all the constant, you know, chitter-chatter of the brain. And then inhaling through the left nostril is just really good to do to calm the mind and come into that state of balance and centeredness, especially if you're under a lot of stress or there's been a shock or, you know, you need to kind of reset and come back to center. So I'll just lead us through this meditation and we'll do maybe just 3 minutes of it and you can have the experience of what just the simple 3-minute meditation is. So you'll be sitting up straight with the spine straight. If you're sitting in a chair, that's fine. Just put the feet on the floor. Or if you're sitting on the floor, you can be cross-legged. You can even do this laying down as long as the spine is relatively straight. Your eyes are going to just be gently closed. And you can add a slight focus at the center of the forehead. So the eyes are closed, but you're looking upward. You'll feel like a slight strain on your eyes. And this activates the optic nerve and helps to stimulate our seat of intuition. So the eyes are closed, pressing a little bit gently up. And you're going to take your right thumb and press it against the right nostril. And then you'll inhale deeply through the left nostril. And you want to get as long and slow of a breath as you can manage. When you're at the top of your inhale, then you'll switch fingers. You can use your pinky finger or your index finger of your right hand and then block off the left nostril and exhale through the right. Again, as long and slow as you can manage. If you're feeling a lot of stress, it will be hard to do long, slow, deep breathing. But hopefully over this period of 3 minutes, that will change. So just begin your breath, blocking off the right nostril, inhaling deeply through the left. When you're at your top of your inhale, switch fingers, exhale through the right nostril. At the bottom of your exhale, switch fingers, inhale through the left. And you'll just continue doing that. Closed. And as you're breathing, notice if you can feel places of constriction in your body. Maybe you feel it at your solar plexus, or maybe you feel it in your stomach. Your stomach doesn't want to expand on that inhale. Maybe you're so used to sucking your stomach in, but to actually fill it up with breath feels really unfamiliar. Quite reach up to the top of the lungs. And just noticing these breath patterns. These are here throughout your day, whether you're aware of them or not. And when we stop and consciously breathe, we become aware of them. After a few rounds of this, you might notice that you can breathe a little bit deeper and longer, that the heart rate maybe comes down a little bit. Become aware of the two different sides of the body, the left and the right. As you breathe in through the left, becoming aware of the left side, the feminine side, the receptive side. And as you exhale through the right, this is our vital solar masculine side. We're balancing those two aspects of self. 30 more seconds here. 3 minutes is kind of a minimum that you'd want to do, and you could work your way up to 31 minutes of this. And on the next inhale through the left, inhale deeply and then exhale through the right. You can release your hands down and just hold the breath out. Hold the breath out. You can feel your belly squeezing in. You might feel your pelvic floor a little bit tightening. Holding the breath out as long as you comfortably can and then inhale and just relax. And as you feel ready, you can gently open your eyes or stretch your arms up into the sky and rotate the wrists and maybe shake out the shoulders or a little by the spine or stretch out the legs. And just notice how you feel after a very, very simple, short breath practice.
And a very nice one. It has a whole body effect, which is very nice. And we were just talking about taking short breaks throughout the day to our listeners. There's your short break on a daily basis. And if you'd like to download this, you know, guided meditation, you know, from today, you're more than welcome in the archives. And like she has mentioned, she has a lot of things on YouTube that are really beautiful. And there's a huge amount of information out there on this form of yoga and its postures. And it's definitely worth checking into. And with that, I was, what else from your experience could you share with, I mean, have you had medical as well as the emotional and spiritual bottom, or was it more of the physical and emotional? And
I'm sorry, did you say, did I have mental?
No, physical.
Okay. So actual physical illness that...
Yeah, that you've worked with the Kundalini yoga. Like, you know, what type of clients do you see, and what are the benefits of the yoga, I guess, for different types of ailments,
I guess,
is what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, there is such a huge body of healing technology available that comes along with Kundalini yoga as far as food and dietary recommendations, support with healthy sleep. You know, I mentioned I was addicted to Ambien when I first found Kundalini yoga. Immediately, I could stop taking Ambien from doing meditation before bed. It helped calm the busyness of the mind, and I didn't wake up in the middle of the night with the racing mind and the racing heart like I had for months and months and months before. And like I said, there's just so much, whether it's reproductive health, menstrual health, depression, stress, sleep, diet. I work with a family who one of the family members has schizophrenia and bipolar. So there's an incredible book called Sacred Therapies, which was written specifically to help people struggling with a huge variety of mental disorders, whether it's PTSD, depression, ADHD, bipolar. He's got everything in there. So that's called Sacred Therapies. If you Google that, you'll find it. And so I work with a family around those issues, and especially the caregivers of the family, really getting them in a good, stable, solid place so they can create an energy around the person who is most deeply struggling, so that, you know, that person can heal through that. There's an incredible technology called, or meditation called Kirtan Kriya, I-R-T-A-N. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. It's the meditation that's had the most scientific research on it, although any of them could, it would be so fascinating to, you know, to do studies on any of these meditations and kriyas. But this particular one has had the most focus on it, and there's specifically on Alzheimer's patients and the caregivers of Alzheimer's patients. And this meditation, which I would like to teach just very simply in a moment, helps with memory, it helps reduce stress, it helps enhance brain blood flow. It brings about an increased healthy brain size, it improves brain chemistry, it brings about a decrease in inflammatory genes and an improvement of the good genes that boost our immune system. It brings about improved sleep, less depression. So 65% of the subjects that they studied showed improvement on depression scales. Brings about clarity of purpose, brings about spiritual well-being. So there's been a lot of information on Kirtan Kriya, and if you just Google, you will find it. There's an organization called, let's see, I'm going to find it in a second, and maybe you can put a link to it from the Searchers Roadmap. Dharma Singh Khalsa is the one that has really developed this and done these studies, and then the webpage for it, anyway, it's not popping up immediately. I think it's called AlzheimersPrevention.org, but I'll look that up. So anyway, this was the kriya that was given to me when I first decided to really take on Kundalini Yoga as a daily practice for myself. And it was suggested that I do this for 31 minutes a day for 40 days, which is a really nice amount of time to really get something into your system. So that was something that I was willing and able to commit to, but you can also, you know, do 3 minutes or do 11 minutes or choose something that's going to work for you in your life, and just creating the discipline around every day I'm going to sit down, I'm going to create a spiritual discipline for myself, for my own healing, is a really powerful practice in and of itself. So basically we're going to use a mantra that is Sa, S-A, S as in Samuel, S-A, and then Ta, T-A, T as in Thomas, Na, N-A, N as in Nancy, and Ma, like Mama, Sa, Ta, Na, Ma. And as we chant this mantra, you'll be touching your thumb tip to each one of your fingertips. So on the first syllable of Sa, you're pressing your thumb and your index finger, and then Ta, thumb and middle finger, Na, thumb and ring, and the final one, Ma, thumb and pinky, and then you start over again with index. So index, middle, ring, pinky, index, middle.
You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge. Without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze. Look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap. Rhonda Harris.
Rhonda.
Hello, listeners. This is Rhonda Harrison, the Roadmap. Today, my guest is Gene Slater, the amazing author of Hiring the Heavens, which can really help people learn how to negotiate and work with angels and the divine to improve and change their life and release their stress. And she's an accomplished artist, author and inspirational speaker who is helping thousands to receive clarity, direction, and purpose through their direct access to higher guidance. And she works with the celestial realm. She inspires people to continue to do this. And with that, I'm going to bring Gene in so we can talk. We've done one interview before. Hi, Gene. How are you doing?
Hello, Rhonda. I'm doing fantastic. And how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm back home and working on my land and actually kind of making a dream come true that I've been working on for about 30 years.
Wonderful.
So what's new and exciting in the realm of angels that you've been working with so far this year?
Well, the wonderful thing about this became part of my awareness and part of my everyday life more than 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now. And it continues to be something that I use every single day. You know how there's ideas that come along that once you hear them, they change your life forever from that point on. There's mm-hmm. so many wonderful, wonderful self-help programs out there. But I honestly, I have to admit, many of the things that I've gotten into and learned about have ended up on a shelf, and then I never use them again, or I can't even remember what they were about. But I have to say that the idea of hiring the heavens has been something that I have used consistently over the